Oops, there, I just did you.
First meeting.
Oh, now that we're on.
Education sub of Ways and Means. And we have some new people on this subcommittee, but the same old chairs. Representative Comp and myself are both lifelong educators, and we've been chairing this subcommittee for, I think, four sessions in a row. And we'd like to welcome all the rest of you. The first thing we're going to do today, first of all, let me introduce Doug Wilson.
Yeah.
We are very fortunate to have Doug back as our administrator for this subcommittee for the third session in a row, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, sometimes the Ways and Means people like to sort of juggle the chairs around, you know, like on the Titanic. But for the last, this will be third session in a row, they've given us the same administrator, and we're very pleased. Mr. Wilson is very good at what he does, and you should all feel free at any time to contact him, call him up, whatever. At this time, what I'd like to do is go through and give each one of us an opportunity to say something about why we're here and what we've done and so on and so forth. And so I guess I'll start that. Start with Senator Arnie Roblin.
Okay, I am really excited about being here. The last time I had anything to do with Ways and Means was when I was in the House as co-speaker, and just that one time. Before that, all policy issues. One of the main reasons that I came here, I'm from Senate District 5, which is most of the Oregon coast, actually, Coos Bay to Tillamook Bay, and then into the valley in Sheridan, Falls City area, and down around Triangle Lake. So it's kind of an interesting, fairly large district. And education is really important to all of us. And I am also a lifelong educator. I also say I was a lifelong politician, because if you're in administration and education, you are in politics. It's just a different form. It's more brutal. Education funding are probably the issues that have kept me in the legislature the longest, because until... It's kind of like I'm going to keep coming back until we get it right. And so we have a lot of things to come, a lot of conversations to have, and I am excited about being here. I'm also the chair of education in the Senate, which is makes it a really good connection, because I think there will be things traveling from one committee to the other, and it's nice to have some of the information travel with it. So I am excited about being here, and it's great to see some old friends and some new friends that from the House. So. And the person sitting next to me who will probably say something next has a really exceptional wife. And he knows that I know that.
We've
spent some time together. So he's okay as well.
Okay. And Senator Chuck Thompson.
I'm from Hood River, born and raised there. My family has a pear orchard up there. My dad, when I got married, usually the kids leave home. When I got married, my folks left home and moved to Wyoming to and have a cattle ranch back there, so I get to go back there and spend some time back there in the summer and see my folks. I've never been on this committee before. I've been on Ways and Means since I got here. I was a county commissioner for 16 years, so kind of, you know, if you're a county commissioner, you work with budgets a lot. So I guess that is kind of my background. I have no school background other than just like everybody else, had kids in schools and volunteered, and my wife volunteered in schools a lot, and I'd go. I do the same, and did a lot of coaching at the grade school and junior high and high school, a little bit at the high school levels. And I meet a lot of people. I go to visit a lot of schools, and love that. That's probably the most enjoyment I get from being a state senator, is going to visit schools. And everybody knows what the issues are, even with the additional dollars that they got the last biennium. The schools are still, the numbers are still fairly crowded. We got to do better to get them more dollars, and I hope the chairs of this committee and our committee can advocate for that. I still think this is going to be a battle between the governor, who is the best politician in the room. What I've seen in 4 years, he gets whatever he wants. He never loses. He's made a few mistakes along the way, but he never loses in his policy. So I think we're going to, in the end, I'm just guessing, in the end, we're going to give the governor what he wants for the early childhood third grade reading levels. We're going to get that number back up there, and we're going to, but we also need to give schools probably an additional $200 million. So just out of the box, that's my guess for what's going to happen. And the sooner we do it, schools can start making their budgets and get their lives and schools in order. So I'm really looking forward to being here and serving with my buddy Rod here, who I know is really his big thing here in the legislature is education, and I'm going to try to help him get whatever he wants.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. And I'm Rod Monroe. I have been in government for almost 40 years. I was first elected to the legislature in 1976. And I've also served 12 years on the Metro Council and served 10 years on the David Douglas School Board and 8 years on the Mount Hood Community College Board.
You're aging yourself, Rod.
And, what?
You're aging yourself, Mike.
I'm old. And I actually served 15 years on the board of Warner Pacific College as well. Taught advanced placement history and government at the high school level for 21 years. Taught at the college level as an adjunct at several local colleges in the Portland area. So education is something I'm very passionate about. And I've really enjoyed working with Doug and especially with Betty Comp over the last several years to try and weather the storm of the recession and rebuild education funding in this state. So, you know, I meet with the big co-chairs regularly, and I always lean on them and say, we need more money for education. We need more money here, here, here. And sometimes they listen to me and sometimes not so much, but we keep working at it. With that, we have five members. There's three of us, which means anything that we pass, two of the three of us at least have to agree on it.
Oh, they can send somebody down from upstairs.
Well, they can do that.
Yeah.
And but this subcommittee doesn't operate that way.
Oh, good.
See, this subcommittee operates pretty much by consensus.
Yeah.
And generally speaking, we rarely have split votes on anything. And Representative Comp and I really work hard to make sure that every committee member feels that they're heard, that they're a part of the decision-making process. And so unanimous votes are the rule of the day, although occasionally you can get a split vote, but not very often. With that, on the House side, we have some new folks to help represent Comp. Barbara, why don't we start with you?
And a surprise move goes down to the end. Good morning, Senator Monroe, colleagues. I'm thrilled to be here. My name is Barbara Smith Warner, and I represent House District 45, which is Northeast Portland, Maywood Park, and Park Rose. I was appointed to the legislature at the beginning of 2014 to replace Michael Dembro when he ascended to the other side of the building, to the Senate District 23. And I served in last year's short session and was elected in November to my first full term. So this is the first time I'm here completely of my own volition. So I'm very excited to be here. I did serve in the short session on the higher ed and workforce development. And I'm very interested in education overall. I have, while I do not have the professional background of many folks on this committee, I do have, as Senator Thompson mentioned, I've got two kids in Portland Public Schools right now. And I've been a long time and active volunteer, PTA board member, as well as my father was a college teacher. So I kind of have seen the across the spectrum, and focusing on education for our kids was one of the main reasons I never thought I would be a legislator, and it was my kids starting school and getting involved in school that really motivated me to get here. So I'm thrilled to be here. I'm very excited to get involved in such a huge learning experience and to really dive in and join that consensus model and really learn from and with all of you. So thank you.
Thank you. Kathleen?
Hello, I'm Kathleen Taylor, and I represent Southeast Portland, Milwaukee, in Oak Grove, House District 41. And Representative Tomei was my predecessor, and I'm very happy to be here. I wanted to serve on this committee, so I'm very thankful to be assigned to this. Education policy and budgets are something that I really look forward to working on professionally. My background is I'm a management auditor, and most recently worked at the Secretary of State's Audits Division, City of Portland, Multnomah County Metro, and when we had the ITAX in Multnomah County, I'm auditing Portland Public Schools. And so I do always like to think that there's room for improvement, but after many years of working on all sorts of types of audits and coming up with recommendations in the end, which no one ever listens to or cares about, I would prefer to be on the front end rather than, to try to see if there's some things that we can do a little bit differently. Regarding education, I, like my colleague, Representative Smith-Warner, I am not an educator. However, I am a product of public schools, and I have two kids in school in Portland, and I very much believe that we need to have a solid school foundation. It's pretty much gave me the life that I have, and I believe that very much. I also served for Portland Public Schools on the Citizen Budget Review Committee for 4 years, and became aware of the difficult challenges school districts need to make when budgets are tight. And so I look forward to working with all of you throughout the session.
Great. Thank you. John?
John Huffman, House District 59. I've been in the Dalles for about 31 years. And my district is a lot of central, north central, and then I've got Wheeler County on the east side, so a big swath of rural Oregon. Great to get back with some of my education colleagues. Arnie and Betty and I served on the Education Committee together over the years in the House. I'm able to come here and feel good that I had accomplished a lot of what I wanted to accomplish in 7.5 years on the House Ed Committee. And I think I really appreciate the Speaker placing me here and with Betty's confidence, because I think this is where we're going to have the fun, and it's going to be the Action Committee this session. I truly believe that, and I'm excited about it. I think we're going to do great things with the budget and for all education in Oregon. So it's a good place to be.
Madam Co-Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Betty Comp. I serve House District 22, Woodburn, Jervis, Brooks, and North Salem. And I have always felt that I'm a good fit for my district. I grew up in poverty, and most of my district is in poverty. And the reality is I sit here because I had some wonderful mentors in my life that at the ripe age of 36, I started college. And so it was from a background of working with my children in my schools, but I was drying hops one summer, and my boss said, "Betty, have you ever thought about going to college? You should not be up here drying hops." But that was the only way I could make ends meet in my family. I have four daughters, and they mean everything to me. And like many here, I served on school board budget committees in my community before I ever thought about going to college, and I was fortunate enough that I could arrange my college courses around my daughter's sports schedule, because that's how I got my master's in English. Otherwise, I'd never have a master's in English. And budget has always been part of my life, because when you grow up in poverty, you're pretty frugal. And most people that have worked with me on this committee, and I don't know how Doug would describe me, but I don't spend money crazily. I want to know what it's being used for and what are the outcomes. And we've changed a lot in the few years that Rod and I have been involved. we are looking at outcomes for students. Yesterday in the Senate Education, we saw the chart about, you know, Oregon's down here in the gully for graduations, and I believe that we're doing a tremendous job in a lot of areas in our schools, and that's what we should be talking about. And we need to be highlighting the really, really good things we're doing, and there's a lot of good stuff happening. And it's always my joy to work with Doug and Senator Monroe. We don't even fight much, and that's unusual because I'm, you know, single for 35 years or something. So, you know, Rod's my best friend. So glad to be here. Glad you're all here. The only other thing I've got to add, because I have 4 daughters, I have 8 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. Wow. And that's why I'm here. It's all yours, Senator.
That's pretty remarkable. Yeah, I just have 1 son, 1 grandson, 1 wife.
Well, that's
53 years. And you will see Mrs. Monroe from time to time. Billy assists me, shows me how to work my computer, things like that. She's also a former teacher. And we met when we were freshmen in college and got married that summer when I was barely 19. So that's the only life I know. Doug, anything for the...
Well, Mr. Chair, I can go through some material for you. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to Julie Jensen, who's over at the table. Not Patsy, but Julie. Patsy's here for this day only, I believe, since this is Julie's sort of first day as a committee assistant. So in terms of when you need to talk to committee staff, either call myself on policy issues and budget issues. If you're not going to be able to be here, you can call either me or Julie, and we'll make sure that you're excused for the purposes of whatever meeting you're going to miss. I'm going to walk through a memo that's on your OLIS system. If you want to turn to it, that's fine. I do need to recommend to you, since we are a paperless subcommittee, that you bring your computers, because you probably will need them at some point in time. Most of the agency presentations are PowerPoint. They'll be on the screen. But still, it probably is very helpful if you would bring your computer, because not everything will be in a PowerPoint form. And there'll be a lot of resources provided on OLIS to you. If you need help with OLIS, I'll try to help you, but I have to refresh my memory on using it from year to year, too, so it's not always the easiest thing. But if I can't do it, we'll get some help. Attendance is important, because these subcommittees are not very large, and as Senator Monroe mentioned, it takes 3 members on the House side and 2 members on the Senate side for a quorum, basically, to start the meeting. We sometimes can start a meeting as what is called sometimes a subcommittee of the subcommittee, but there really isn't that. So it's not officially operating, and you for sure can't take any formal action in that setting. So attendance is important. If you can't make it, please let us know, and then we can make adjustments if business is going to be, in terms of voting, will take place. Subcommittee rules, there aren't any formal subcommittee rules. The rules that were adopted yesterday by the full Ways and Means Committee also are the rules of this subcommittee. I have copies on today's OLIS meeting. Today's meeting on OLIS, the rules are there, and they're generally the same as they have been in the previous couple sessions. So I talked a little bit about quorum, the importance of being here or letting us know you're not here. On terms of these mics, they can be quite sensitive at times. You'll notice the little guy with the microphone, the blue light special there. That is important. If that's on, you're recording, so keep that in mind with side comments. And after meetings or before meetings, if you're going to say something sensitive, I would hold off for a few seconds after that light goes off just to make sure. Just a word of warning. We'll use roll calls in here when necessarily, but subcommittees are generally pretty informal. So only when they're requested or whether there's doubt, the roll call will be taken, and Julie, the committee assistant, will call out the names and the roles. As I mentioned, these are paperless on the most part. Leadership over the past few sessions have wanted to go to a paperless setting, so that's the importance of the computer. We will, as committee staff, generally not make copies for you, so if you want copies of things that are posted on OLIS, it's up to your committee or your personal staff to make those copies. Some of us still like to work in paper, and so you'll see me have a notebook and stuff of committee presentations, but if you would like something like that, please work through your committee staff or your personal staff on that. Agendas, we have a 72-hour notice on initial hearings and 48-hour notice for public hearings and work sessions on the same bill after the first posting. We will try to get agendas and materials posted to you the night before the meeting at the latest, earlier if we can, and when we move toward work sessions, we'll try to get things up there as quickly as possible once the decisions have been made and we've been able to do our work. As you move toward the end of session, you'll do a number of policy bills. There, we're more working on the fly, mostly in the final days of the session, and you will make sure, and we're required to have everything posted at least an hour before, but we'll make every effort to get things up there quicker if possible. There's always going to be a daily agenda. It's a rather short today. These will be really the only papers we put on your desk. Sometimes we'll put the bill up if I remember. I have to remember from past times whether we put the bill in front of you, but the bills and ways and means aren't all that important until you get to work session, because they really don't say much. Very little detail on a ways and means bill. It's the work papers where the detail is. On OLIS, there is a list of analysts and the bills that are in the subcommittee. It looks like this. Listed there are our names assigned to each of the committees or each of the agencies, as well as the CFO or the executive branch budget person assigned to those agencies. Mr. McGee, the white-haired gentleman in the audience. I give him a hard time constantly anyways, and he does to me. So he handles mainly the post-secondary side of education. You'll see he and Lisa Pearson representing the CFO's office, formerly known as BAM, budget and management, in the subcommittees, and generally we'll see them on a daily basis, and they're here to provide support where necessary. So other items, we'll make this as short as possible. Our analyst will, after the first few weeks, you won't see those folks very much that are doing licensing boards, and almost everything else in the subcommittee will likely be handled by Paul Siebert, who does public universities, what was also known as higher ed for years, and I will do most every other education agency or area. So you will not see a lot of people coming in and out for different agencies, which I think in the long run is probably quite valuable in an area that's integrated and probably moving more integrated as we move down the line in terms of education. We'll spend approximately 2.5 months in what we call phase one of the hearing process. You'll hear from agencies on their presentation in phase one. We'll usually, as LFO staff, introduce the agency, talk a little bit briefly about major policy and budget issues facing that agency. Then the agency will provide their presentation. In some cases, it will be a week, 2 weeks long, because these are large agencies. There are generally really only two agencies plus some smaller agencies in front of the subcommittee, Department of Education, which also has the state school fund. And then we have structured this so the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, or HEC, will, their presentation will also include the presentations for community colleges, public universities, the Oregon Student, what was called the Oregon Student Assistant Commission, or OSAC, and some other programs. OHSU will be part of their presentation. And then you'll find the Oregon Education Investment Board, Teacher Standards Practices Commission are separate agencies, and they'll each have roughly a day or a little more, depending on the need. So, but generally, you'll see the same people from HEC and the Department of Education in front of you on the most basis. We're going to structure this subcommittee slightly different than some others because of the integration of education. After we finish the licensing boards, we'll have 2 or 3 days of the executive branch presenting sort of the integrated education system that will give them an opportunity to spend some time talking about the governor's initiatives. In phase one for the agencies, we've asked them, you know, spend time on the core information about your agencies and a high level at the governor's budget. And then during what we call phase two, which follows the agency presentations, we'll bring agencies back on governor's budgets, other topics that you find important during the phase one and identify, as well as things that the subchairs might want to come and visit back with folks. Things like assessment costs and the process for school assessments. Another significant issue likely will be distribution of the monies to public universities and community colleges, because the HEC has been working with those institutions on a more performance-based way of distributing funds, and I'm sure you're going to be interested in finding out what that means, because that will affect the distribution in some way to the institutions out there across the state. Then finally, phase three will be generally what we call work sessions. Some agencies will not have a phase two, mostly likely licensing boards, and will go directly to phase three. And hopefully during that period, the licensing boards will have their work sessions earlier sometime in session, because there shouldn't be any significant issues with them. At least we hope there aren't. Some of them very well might have fee increases, which may generate a little bit more discussion. Tentative order, and I say tentative because these things are always subject to change. We'll do the first couple weeks licensing boards. These are health-related licensing boards, counselors and therapists, dentistry, pharmacy, but not the Board of Medical Examiners or the Board of Nursing, which are now in the Human Services Subcommittee. Then we'll do the 2 or 3 day education program area overview, followed by Teacher Standards and Practices Commission. Then we'll do K through 12, Department of Education, and the State School Fund, and Oregon Education Department now also has early learning in it, and there are major initiatives being proposed for early learning. And then OEIB, Education Investment Board, and then do post-secondary to complete that phase one and all the components of the post-secondary area. The materials you have will have available to you. We will post as soon as we get them, and it will always be on the first day of the posting of the agency's hearing, the governor's budget document, which is a rather large document. It sometimes can be two notebooks this high. Subcommittees generally don't spend a lot of time paging through that, and since we're no longer having papers, it's even harder in a computer setting. So we should be having a copy in the room here for your access, or you can always borrow my paper copy if you want, that we may have in the office, if you want to dive into those kinds of details. There will be an agency presentation, usually a PowerPoint, that will post on the first day of the hearing for that agency. We will not post it every single day because you start running into memory problems, capacity problems on OLIS. So we'll make sure that folks go back to those that first day for the presentation. And generally they're also a PowerPoint on the screen, so it shouldn't be a problem. For work sessions, we'll bring in a memo that lays out all the motions and the issues and our recommendations. There will also be what we call an orbits, which is the Oregon budget system, that has a special set of printouts with all the policy packages in it and our recommendations to that, that you will walk you through, and that will be what the budget is based on. And of course, you have the power to make changes to those as a subcommittee. And our recommendations will also generally reflect in those areas where the co-chairs have an issue or want to make sure that their voice is heard. Our recommendation usually includes the recommendations of what the full committee co-chairs are feeling. So when we bring a recommendation for the state school fund, whatever that number is, that will be what the co-chairs have sort of set out and want the subcommittee to very carefully consider. We all know the power of the co-chairs. budget notes. These are instructions to agencies to either do a report or to provide certain direction to the agency administering a program. Budget notes should, if they're done properly, they should percolate up from the sub-chairs, share them with both sub-chairs, and the co-chairs and the full committee also have to approve all budget notes. I would also strongly encourage you, if you draft one, let myself or Paul or one of the analysts in LFO take a look at them for form, and then we can also tell you that this goes a little beyond the power of budget notes. Maybe you want to redraft it or rethink it. I will try to do that as nice as possible, but sometimes you can't say thou shalt not spend money for this particular school district or something. Keep in mind that budget notes do not have the power of law. They are part of a budget report, which are generally a set of instructions and details and hints to the agencies on how they are supposed to administer their program, but they're not Oregon law like the bill is. But agencies are generally smart enough to understand the budget notes are there for a purpose. They've gone through the process, and it might be smart to follow what there is there, or you better have a good reason not to. I can only think of a few cases where agencies haven't followed the budget notes. And finally, in terms of assigning carriers from the subcommittee are assigned both for the full committee and the floors. LFO staff on the floors will always be available to come to the table during full committee to answer questions, and that often happens. On the floors, unless you're asking for us to sit with you at your desk, we generally will sit at the side aisle. So if you want us to sit with you at the desk to provide any support or be there to help you answer any questions when they get awful detailed in nature on the floor, please make the request for us to be there. Otherwise, we'll be on the side aisle. Finally, the subcommittee only not only do budget bills, but they do fee bills. There'll be some fee bills in the subcommittee and some of the licensing boards. When federal grants come forward during session, agencies have to get the authority to request federal grants that are generally new. You'll hear those in this subcommittee. Those will go to full committee, but they will not go to the floors. The Ways and Means Committee is the final stopping point for federal grants. Agency reports, many of these will be part of their agency presentations, but the legislature has often asked agencies to prepare a report on a specific subject matter, and they'll generally report back to this subcommittee if they're in a budget report or a budget note requirement or laid out in the budget report for that specific report. And finally, we do hear policy bills. Many times policy bills are sent to Ways and Means for a variety of reasons. Generally, they're here because they probably have a fiscal impact and they have to be prioritized with all the other fiscal needs of the state. Last session, this subcommittee probably heard over 30 policy bills, which is quite a large number. They're usually in the last few weeks of session, and many times they're on the run in the sense that you'll find out we're having a subcommittee meeting a couple hours before the subcommittee. So at that time, you have to stay, your staffs need to stay on their toes to make sure you know that there's a subcommittee meeting, planning to meet. We'll meet one day and then not meet for a couple days, and then suddenly you're meeting again toward the end of session when all the budgets are out. And then finally, the reference materials. On OLIS today, I've put in some other things, the committee rules, that list of bills and analysts. For those that are new to the process, and you might have seen this already, if Ken Rocco, our office director, went through some of the caucuses, there's what we call Budget 101, if you want to take a look at that or refresh yourself. It's real basic in terms of the budget process. Also attached is a portion of a 400-plus page document. This is the analysis that we put out after session of the legislatively approved budget. This came out after 2013 session, but it is probably the best background material that you can read through without spending hours and hours on agency programs. The budget numbers reflect the current biennium's budget, but generally it's a good information for background and agency programs and those kinds of things. What I put up on OLIS is just the first few pages and also the education agencies. I didn't put all the other agencies, but that the full document's on our website if you want to follow that. And finally, I also attached the co-chair's budget framework, also available on our website. But again, a good document to go through. Keep in mind that the budget framework is at a 50,000-foot level. In fact, education, in terms of what the co-chairs put together, probably has the most detail because they set a state school fund number in there. They set the community college support fund and the public university general support numbers in there. And that's more than some of the other program areas have. But it does set a framework. It surely lets you have plenty of leeway within agencies and within the numbers to start zeroing in on your priorities. So that is my presentation, Mr. Chair. I'll be free to answer questions. Again, as Senator Monroe mentioned, please feel free to call me or Paul or anyone in terms of the analysts assigned to the agencies. If you have any questions, if you have process questions, please feel free to call me. And I'd be glad to sit down with anyone at any time. Well, any time. Take that in reason, please. Notice you don't have my home phone number. Be glad to come in and talk about any subject, or if any new member wants to talk about the process or get a little orientation, I'll be glad to sit down and talk to them.
Are there questions for Mr. Wilson?
On the budget notes, will we get reports back this year on budget notes that were passed as part of the last budget?
Mr. Chair, Representative Smith Warner, you should, if they were to come back during this session. Some of the reports have already been reported back to the Emergency Board, the Joint Ways and Means Committee prior to the 2014 session, or even the 2014 session. If there's something you specifically want to know, why don't you let me know, and we'll track it down for you.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, other questions? Doug, thanks a lot. I have Representative Comp and I have looked at both the governor's budget for education and the co-chair's budget, and there's considerable difference between the two. And this subcommittee's main job really is going to be to look at those two different proposals and figure out how to mesh them so that they make sense. So although we take direction primarily from the big co-chairs, we can't ignore what the governor is proposing as well. And we will look at that and try to determine what works best. Also, Representative Comp and I will be having periodic meetings with the governor's staff, education staff, Nancy and Ben and Megan and who am I leaving out?
Rob
Saxon. We'll be having meetings with them.
those meetings, when they're held, are public meetings, and any of you that want to sit in on them, you're certainly welcome to do that. But we will be giving the first of those meetings will be tomorrow, and my first kind of instruction to the governor's staff will be, tell us what in the co-chair's budget gives you the greatest heartburn. Tell us what the co-chairs left out that was in the governor's budget that you absolutely feel you have to have to do the job of educating children and young people in this state. In other words, give us your best thinking on that. These people are politicians, just like we are, and that means they don't like controversy, or they try to avoid controversy. But sometimes controversy is necessary if we're going to learn the truth. And, you know, my job, Representative Comp's job, all of our job is to do the best that we can to prepare a budget for education, which is more than 50% of the total state budget. This subcommittee deals with more than half of the total state budget for all things. So we have a pretty important job to do, and you know, we're appointed to this subcommittee for a reason. Each one of you were appointed to this subcommittee for a reason by the presiding officers and so on. And I take the job very seriously. Please also feel free at any time to talk to either Betty or I if you have questions about something that's going on, or concerns about something, or rumors that you've heard and you want to know if they're true or not, and so on. Feel free. Give us a call or stop by her desk when you're on the floor, or my desk when the Senate's on the floor. You visit us at any time. Okay. John.
Mr. Chair, you mentioned the first of that sort of meeting was going to be tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning.
How are those meetings going to be communicated with us? I don't see that I have anything on my calendar yet. So.
No, it was scheduled by Representative Comp's staff and my staff and the governor's staff, and that meeting will be in the
conference room
in LFO. I think it's at 8:30.
Mr. Chair, it is at 8:30, but you have to be very, very careful about quorums, because it is not a public meeting, and it has not been announced or posted. So if everyone shows up, we're not going to be able to have it.
Yeah.
So okay. I think you need to make sure you think that through very carefully, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, that's always a problem. So you can have up to two House members, and I guess I can have only myself.
That's right.
But when we started doing this, we have not in the past had committee members come, because the room gets pretty full with just all the education heads and different things from the OEIB and stuff. But my recommendation is kind of want to keep in contact with Rod and I and see what do we think subjects are going to come up, or something that you're really interested in. We do ask if we invite, what we've done is invite the policy chairs, so that the reality is that the policy is decided in the policy committee, not in the Ways and Means Committee. Although, as Doug said, we had 30-some policy bills last cycle, but it is not something that you should feel that you're required to go, and that you're going to be missing out on a lot. It's really been helpful for us to hear from those educator leaders in the other agencies, and that's what it is. So,
can I ask what the focus of tomorrow, the first meeting, is going to be, and who?
Well,
might be
well,
there?
Rod mentioned. Go ahead.
Yeah, basically what I mentioned. I you know, we're going to be basically giving them instructions as to what we need as subcommittee co-chairs to make the decisions that we're going to have to make. Now, we're not going to be delving into that for about 2.5 more weeks. So basically, I'm going to be asking them, when you come back to us in at the end of the month, here's what I'd like to have from you.
So that'll be Rob, Nancy, Meg, those
yes.
guys.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's to help them get focused on what we feel is the most important issues that they can give all of us.
And the Senate policy chair will not be attending.
Okay. Yeah, because we make a quorum. Yeah, this is, yeah. But I imagine Senator
yeah.
Roblin and I will have lots of opportunities to discuss these things.
Exactly. I agree. I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Out of the 30 policy bills that came here, did they all get referred because they had a fiscal? Or were there one or two or three that were actual policy bills that didn't have a fiscal referred here?
No. These, theoretically anyway, all had a fiscal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be in Ways and Means.
Why would a policy committee ever send them here if they didn't have a?
Just ask.
Oh.
I would have to go look at each one individually to respond to that question.
The exception came in 2009 when That's Arnie right. was co-speaker. And there were co-chairs for every committee, and the co-chairs for the education for the House Education Committee didn't get along particularly well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I remember that.
The
fact,
second set did, Mr. Chair.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah,
second set got along great.
Yeah.
They were
That's
virtually dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And so this subcommittee ended up doing policy work that should have been done in that committee.
Absolutely true.
And we managed. 2010. We did what we had to do.
2011.
But. Yeah. Primarily, we're a budget committee.
No, it's 9, actually.
Okay, anything else? Madam Co-Chair, anything else for the good of the order?
No.
Our next meeting is Monday?
Yes, you were close.
Yeah, and the final words that I would say is follow Doug's advice. It's sound. It's the way we process, and OLIS is our friend.
Okay. Anything else? We're adjourned.
Yeah.
We're adjourned.